Hello, welcome beautiful people to episode 45 of Cerebral Flex. This one is astrology part two. It's about aspects, what we didn't cover in astrology part one. So good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm gonna say that I'm okay. Mentally I'm not, but
then don't say you're okay.
Who of us is?
So I don't know. There's gotta be someone out there.
I do envy people who seem to be just naturally happy. Like, right. Like there are those individuals where it's like, man, no matter if somebody kicked your puppy or not, you're gonna forgive them and be happy and go on your way. It must be nice. That's what I strive for every day.
I don't know if I ever want to be kicked my puppy nice.
Well, that poor example. You know what I mean. If you did actually kick a happy person's puppy, that might be the one thing that like sends them into murder mode. Like,
yeah.
They're constantly happy all the time. Then there's that one thing and that just sets them off. Yeah.
As it should.
Yes. Everybody should get mad at people who kick puppies or any animal of any kind. It's awful.
Yeah. Yep. So
Cerebral Flex does not condone animal kicking.
Absolutely not.
All right.
But we do promote man dog. But astrology part two. Most of this information came from bustle.com in July 10th of 2020. So astrology tracks the movements and relationships between planets and other celestial bodies and interprets how they influence our daily lives. And these relationships between planets are called aspects, what we're talking about today.
Yep.
And the five main planetary aspects are important when it comes to understanding how astrology affects us. And while each planet has its own unique personality per se and governs over a different region of our life, the way they affect us has to do with the sign they're located in at any given time, as well as the relationship they're forming with each other. So I thought that was interesting, that how, you know, different aspects are aligned, or the aspect is created from, you know, two planets or signs aligning or aligning.
You'll hear a lot about like retrogrades, planets going into retrogrades, and how that affects us in our everyday communication, or how we're going to perceive each other, or how we're going to approach certain situations. So when a certain planet is in retrograde, you might be more prone to fighting with people you're close to, or not even fighting, but like having miscommunication with. And it's interesting that all these planets doing their different alignments that they're constantly shifting through do seem to innately affect the way that we interact with each other and with ourselves and our thought processes. And even if you look on a broader scale, things that happen throughout the world, there are certain like returns in certain planets like Pluto. It takes the longest to return to a certain sign because its rotation around the sun is so long. And you can track over time certain things that happen during certain Pluto returns.
And Pluto's about rebirth, isn't it?
Yeah. So like the Revolutionary War,
mm-hmm.
That was taking place during, I can't remember the sign that Pluto was in, but that took place during the time Pluto was in a certain sign, and it was a very aggressive, forward-thinking movement. And then you had the Revolutionary War happen, and people were actually saying that when it returns to that sign, which is in about like 200 plus years, so we're getting close to it now, if it hasn't already happened, that energy is going to start to shift in our everyday lives. And that's why you see so much civil unrest and stuff. It's interesting. Again, like, you can't prove any of it, but if you track, you know, the movement of the planets and certain events that even correlate in your own life, like it there is something to be said about how maybe subconsciously we're reacting due to the movement of all these different planets and whatever vibrational energies they might be sending out.
Yeah, there's been too many coincidences to just discount it
completely.
Yeah.
But nobody's doing the hard work of like looking into it per se. So
I think someone has. I think there's like, aren't there like books or like websites about that? Like all the different things in the past that have happened because of different alignments.
I'm talking more of like the scientific community, I think, still kind of poo-poos it as
right.
Kind of the same as psychology. Like the scientific community also kind of poo-poos psychology because it's kind of hard, because we don't know where consciousness comes from. So you can't really psychology is still considered, funnily enough, a pseudoscience.
Yeah, I think that's emotional maturity as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think once you mature a bit emotionally, you're more open to things like that.
Yeah, I would
agree. I know I've been closed off to things for a long time that I'm open to now. So maybe just getting older. I don't know. But either way, I think
maybe it's because your planet is your birth planets are returning to their natural form.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who knows? That's what's lovely about being a human. No one really knows anything. We're all like, you know, knowledge-wise babies until we die, and we know less about the ocean than we do about space, and we just don't know much, and we're all just kind of like, you know, in a lovely confusion, as Derrida would.
Yes.
But yeah, so back to the aspects. These aspects, they're represented by angles, planets form when the other with each other in the zodiac wheel. So if you have, you know, one entirely away from another one that's like 180 degrees apart, that'd be called an opposition. So there's five major aspects: trine, sextile, conjunction, opposition, and square. If two or more planets are within like 0 degrees of each other on the zodiac wheel or close to it, it's called a conjunction. I believe you can get up to 6 degrees away before it's no longer a conjunction. I could be wrong there, but I believe it's 6 is the astrological consensus.
I believe so, yes.
If they're 60 degrees apart, it's a sextile. Planets that are 90 degrees apart form a square, and 120 degrees apart form a trine. And lastly, two or more planets that are 180 degrees, like I said before, my first example, is an opposition.
Right.
So directly across the wheel. And each of these angles have different symbolic meaning. And I don't know, you probably know more about that, but I can just give what I saw off the website. But from what I understand, there's hard and soft.
Yeah. So just so people understand with the wheel, let me do a little screen share.
Yeah. People like screen shares and videos and things.
Yeah.
Examples.
So is that showing up? All right.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. So this is what your zodiac wheel is going to look like. Some websites do a fancier example of it than this. But as you can see, it has all these different signs on the zodiac wheel, all these different lines going through are where certain planets are in relation to certain signs. And down here, you have all the different degrees at which they are as well. So this part can be kind of like hard to understand, but a lot of these websites now, they just have the times input. So you don't actually have to do all this math. Before they had websites like this, you had to actually generate all the math yourself and kind of draw the diagram, which sounds like a horrible, painful headache. But it also could be a fun challenge as well, because you're trying to puzzle piece it together. But this is what we are talking about when we're talking about sextiles, conjunctions, oppositions. Every sign does have an opposition to it. So like I am a Capricorn. So the sign that's in direct opposition to Capricorn is Cancer. Usually the sign that your sun sign is in opposition to is about 6 months from it. So you're Aquarius, so whatever 6 months from Aquarius, that would be a sign that you're in opposition to. Which I'm not sure.
It's kind of a mix between Aquarius and what's that other one? I have to look up the symbol. I don't know all the symbols like other people.
But so when you're looking at, when they're talking about opposition, sextiles, all that, they're looking at this wheel to kind of judge where it's at in your chart and what is in opposition to one sign or what is a sextile or what's in conjunction or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. So mine was Cancer and Leo. Pretty much exactly opposite of Aquarius.
Oh, that would make sense that it would be Leo, because, yeah, you're right after me. Yeah, Okay. Yeah. So Aquarius's opposite is Leo. So essentially you just look up whatever 6 months from yours, and that'll be a sign that you're going to have some contention with. But again, like we stated before, like somebody might be a Cancer, like my eldest per se, but then you look at his chart and a lot of his other placements, like his moon and his rising sign, are earth sign. So it's not just your singular sign that defines you. It's everything in your chart that helps kind of define who you are and what you enjoy in life and what you want to strive after and stuff.
Yep. So yeah, some of the aspects are soft or hard, and like you just pointed out about opposition, there might be some difficulty.
Yes.
But I've heard some people say that if you do reach what you have in opposition on your chart, that you will grow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's hard to really determine who you are with some of them. If they're like too emotional in opposition, too emotional signs in opposition, then some people have a difficulty knowing who they are a lot more.
Right.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Also, like, I will say, depending on who the person is in Cancer, like, I tend to actually get along with a lot of people who are Cancer, whether they're men or female. But then, like, certain signs, like Leo, I don't really get along with males who are Leo. I tend to find them kind of like arrogant and rude. But female Leos, I like them quite a bit. They're enjoyable. So also, like, for me, it can kind of depend on what gender you are, or how like masculine or feminine you are, can like kind of help like the shifting nature. But I think because Cancers are naturally a little bit more like nurturing, and I'm so not nurturing, I think that's why I enjoy and gravitate towards them quite a bit.
Yep.
They soften me up.
Yep. You want what you aren't.
Yes. Yeah. That's one thing that astrology and MBTI and a lot of these things will tell you, is you kind of are attracted to your opposite in a way.
Yep. And so the hard aspects are opposition and square, and then the easy, more like gentler aspects are sextile and trine. All of them can help you grow. Yes. None of them are necessarily bad. But yeah, a conjunction isn't generally aligned with either category, considering the strong potential for it to go in either direction, depending on the planets involved. And it all depends on which planets are involved. And you can have a helpful square or a not so helpful trine. So
yeah,
it really does depend on which planets are, you know, developing which aspects.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot from looking at my own natal chart and all the aspects within over the 2 weeks we haven't been recording.
Yes. So other things that let me make sure that our screens are all good now.
It's all good.
Other things that you can look at when you're looking at not just like conjunctions and trines and stuff like that, but other things you can look at when you're looking at your chart would be how many signs you have in a certain planet. And that will give you, if you have three or more signs in a certain planet, that gives you a stellium of planets. And what a stellium is it pretty much kind of, it's twofold. It'll show you exactly how much that sign like rules your chart, which means that kind of rules your personality and your life purpose. And then it also will kind of give you your life's purpose, what comforts you, what you strive for, what means a lot to you. So like for myself, my Sun, Mercury, Mars, Uranus, Neptune, Lilith, and North Node are all in Capricorn. So that's seven signs or seven planets that are in Capricorn. So I have a very large stellium in Capricorn. So that means I'm a very work-oriented person. I can be a bit obsessive at times about my work. Status and money are something that is going to be something that I'm always going to strive for. And this is where learning about astrology can help you, because it not only shows you what you're striving for subconsciously, but it's kind of like with MBTI too. Like, you understand your virtues and your vices. And what the helpful part about astrology is, like, and why a lot of people don't get into it, is some people will use their sign to justify their shitty behavior. But what you should be using astrology for is to kind of like learn about those vices and grow. So for me, like, one of my life lessons, I strive for recognition. I strive for social status. I strive for money, monetary gain. Those are obsessive things that I'm striving towards. And what that can kind of teach me is, like, hey, maybe you need to worry a little bit less about career climbing, or take more time off of work, so, you know, I'm not overworking myself and getting sick. Maybe don't worry as much about, you know, status, because in the end we all die and disappear anyway, and everyone's going to eventually forget you.
What was your north node again?
My north node is in Capricorn.
How does that help you? It's almost just like stay the same, bro.
Well, also, though,
what is it trying to get you to achieve?
In the north node, though, you have to look at the sign that's in the opposition, remember?
Yeah.
So what they say is, in your past life or your past energies, the north node will show you what you were in the last life or cycle that you were in, which I don't really believe in reincarnation and rebirth. So I tend to think of it as like past energies that you're kind of striving to overcome. So,
well, there could be other realms. There could be other dimensions.
Multiversal dimensions. Yeah, that's true.
So what was it?
It would be a Cancer then, remember? Because
Yeah. So it just seems odd to me that you were given all the tools to be exactly what you're supposed to strive for.
Yeah.
Like, you were kind of like helped. Like, my every single thing I am, like, that I have two stellions, one is Sagittarius and one is an Aquarius, and I'm supposed to
three because you have one in Libra as well.
Oh yeah, shit. And so I'm supposed to strive to be Cancer, which I'm like, so not. I'm not a Cancer at all. I like have no Cancer qualities. Like, I've been trying to like be more thoughtful and like reach out to people and like, you know,
yeah,
be halfway normal, but I wasn't really given the gifts to, or the little stepping stones to really do that.
Right. So
it seems unfair. Some people's makeup is just kind of easier.
Well, one thing you also have to look at, and that's not 100% necessarily true, because Capricorn, you also have to remember, is ruled by the planet of Saturn, which is all about discipline and hardship. So what a lot of people say when it comes to Capricorn, and I very much feel this myself, is that, we kind of live, and that's why Capricorns have like this perception of being like dour, not liking people, having extreme resting bitch face, and just looking like generally sad all the time, is we feel overburdened with the responsibility of like not just ourself and our well-being, but like the world's well-being. And because Saturn's our ruling planet and Saturn is all about karmically learned lessons, Capricorns for a really long time, and they say that it's not till you hit your 30s as a Capricorn that you really start to strive. So thank God I'm hitting 30, because hopefully things start to shift in a different direction. But Capricorns are very hardworking and very like serious for like the first earlier years of their life. That's why they normally tend to seem like they are more mature. And then as they age more and they come more into their own, they become more childlike and playful. So hopefully in the next, you know, third of my life that I live, I become more childlike and playful, because I'm a very serious individual at the moment. But Capricorn, being Capricorn isn't necessarily fun. It comes with a lot of like feelings of guilt associated with like responsibility and living up to your own expectations and the expectations of others and stuff. It's a very heavy energy to live in sometimes.
Sounds stressful.
It is very stressful. That's why you'll see a lot of Capricorns. Again, like they're known for being like hard workers and overworking themselves. That's why you'll see a lot of them develop anxiety issues. A lot of them develop depression, even PTSD to a certain point. So yeah, it can be really detrimental if you're not looking at, you know, mental health in general and taking care of yourself. And again, this is why studying these things like the MBTI and astrology are important, because it gives you better understanding of yourself and why you do certain things.
Yeah.
But what I was saying about the North Node being in Capricorn in my past life, then, if we were believing in past lives, I would have been a Cancer, because that's the sister sign, or the opposition sign to Capricorn. And so having a North Node in Capricorn can kind of tell me, all right, in my past life, maybe I was over nurturing, and I spread myself too thin, and maybe in this current iteration of my journey, I need to be a little bit more disciplined when it comes to giving energy away to others and being too nurturing. And that can kind of be a guide stone to like where you're supposed to be. So yours is in Cancer. So maybe in your past life, you have Capricorn energy, right? Yeah. So maybe because you had Capricorn energy, maybe you were extremely controlling, obsessive, possibly even a workaholic to a certain degree, and very concerned with like status and money and stuff like that. And so maybe in this iteration of yourself, you're supposed to be more like a Cancer. You're supposed to be more caring. You're supposed to be more, you know, giving of your time, letting people know that you're there, like you were doing and stuff.
Huh. Yeah. And so like all the tools I've been given is pretty much do what I want, stay independent, and peace and love.
I mean, yeah, because you have a stellium in Aquarius and Libra, which are both, Libra is an air sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is an air sign. So you have a lot of air in your chart. And
I have a lot of free. Be free. Yeah. Let me be.
Having air in your chart is very much like, let me be free. That's why when it comes to my love life, my Venus is a very hard placement. My Venus is in Sagittarius, which is a fire sign. And of the fire signs, it's probably the most, I would say, fickle of them. So I can have a lot of problems in my relationship with others when it comes romantically to like, I don't like feeling constrained. Like, I don't feel like, okay, I have to be with this person and, you know, constantly reaffirm, my feelings for them, or like, you know, settle down and give them absolute commitment. Like my Sagittarius and Venus wants me to be able to be free and do what I want to do and not be held down. Mm. And so that's something that I have to, you know, try to balance, but that's also something that, you know, partners that you're with are going to have to balance. Maybe it wouldn't be super good for somebody who has Venus in a more stable sign. Maybe it wouldn't be so good for them to be unnaturally clingy to that person, because their Sagittarian Venus is going to go, oh, I don't like that you're clingy. Like, it doesn't make me feel good when you do that. And, you know, they'll start wandering away. The thing with the Sagittarius Venus is to give them the illusion of freedom. And then they'll choose to be with the person that they're interested in. But the minute the person they're interested in starts to be overbearing or too clingy, they start to like automatically lose interest. So it's a hard placement to have.
Hmm.
My chart is not a fun chart, I would say. My Venus in Sagittarius is very flighty. My moon in Gemini that's kind of a hard placement as well. Mainly because my Gemini is in my 10th house. And that's another thing that we haven't even tried to touch, is all the different houses. You can look at that on any website that you pull up. It'll have your sign, and it'll list next to your sign what house that sign is in, and then you can look up the houses and kind of look at what that house is supposed to represent and how your sign represents or relates to that house. But my Gemini moon's in my 10th house, which is a hard house for it to be in. And Gemini being in the moon's all about like your subconscious, and Gemini is a very articulate, smart, and intellectual sign. So like my obsessive or even detrimental like thoughts, my brain always being on fire, like that's in my subconscious setting of my personality. So that's a hard placement to have, because that means I'm constantly overthinking everything all the time.
All right. So yeah, just getting us back to the topic at hand. I just learned a lot about you. but aspects, instead of interpreting a single planet's meaning in a certain sign like we are doing right now,
yeah,
we have to add the consideration of how they blend with other planets' energies, and that's how the aspects are created. But yeah, just talking about where things are just in the, you know, placements like sun, moon, all that is complicated enough, and then you get into the houses, and then you get into the aspects. But I think the aspects for me really conclude a lot of why I struggle with so many things. So even though Venus is the planet of love and generally associated with positive qualities, if it's in a difficult aspect with another planet like Saturn, for example, it could actually create upset in our love lives. So yeah, let's get into it. Like a conjunction is when two different planets link up together in the same sign. So like in quantum mechanics, double slit experiment, if you remember that, think of constructive interference. So it's more intense. So things build up, they're helping each other. So two different planets are helping each other, you know, like Voltron, they're coming together and making something stronger than they once were. A sextile is a friendly and flirty aspect between signs that are 60 degrees apart. So they're like, I don't know.
Hey, lovers. What's up?
Yeah. They're like, get really excited to be with each other, and they bring each other happiness and fun. And then the only downside to a sextile aspect is that it's not the most action oriented. Yep. So it really isn't that productive. So don't expect it to bring energy or a major shift in your life or anything like that. But it is fun to look at what you have in sextile. And the energy of planets forming a sextile is usually easy and compatible, so it doesn't tend to bring a lot of drama to a situation. So let's talk about what you got. What you got for conjunction, for instance? Hello? Oh, he's talking to his kids. So I have sun in conjunction with moon. So if you remember, like it links up and helps each other become stronger. Both my sun and moon are in Aquarius. So that's funny. So yeah, of course they're going to help each other, right? And then my sun is also in conjunction with Venus. Yeah, continue.
So what I have pulled up right now, because I don't have yours, this is mine. So
yeah.
As you can see, you've got planet aspect, the planet, the orb, and the value. So my sun is in trine with my moon.
Okay, we haven't talked about trine yet.
True. Which one are we on? Sorry, my kids.
Conjunction.
So my sun sign is in conjunction with my Neptune. Okay. It is also in conjunction with my Lilith.
So let's talk about what your sun and what your Lilith and all those are in planetary or like sign wise.
Okay. So, all right. So I said my sun is in conjunction with my Neptune, and my Neptune is in Capricorn, and my Lilith is in Capricorn.
And so is your sun.
And so is my sun. Yes.
So yeah, that's pretty, like I just said, my moon and sun are in conjunction. They're both Aquarius. So of course those are going to help each other.
Oh, that's really nice. Actually, I never thought about that. You do have a sun and moon in Aquarius, so that is going to help. Yeah.
Like I'm a totally balanced person when it comes to my thoughts and my feelings. I'm really like, linear.
Man,
I don't fight myself pretty much ever. My mask is fake as shit. What? You know, like my ascension sign is Libra. I'm totally not a Libra.
No, you are not.
But that's what I come across when people meet me. They're like, "Oh my God, he's so laid back. He's so fun." And then I like bust out and start talking about chess or like, you know, my irrational obsessions that nobody else wants to get down with.
I knew the moment I met you. I was like, this guy's faking it right now.
Yeah.
I immediately made some type of fucked up joke. I don't even remember what it was. And you just immediately jumped on it. I was like, yep, knew it.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of people don't see it until it's too late. They're like really wanting to be my friend. Then it's like down the road, they're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like when I first met you, I was like, man, this guy's fake as fuck. Let's see. And then I made some joke and you like reciprocated. And I was like, all right, I can get down with this. It was like, honestly, if you think about it, like when we met each other, it was kind of like a really like quick connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Very fast.
Which doesn't happen for you or I very often at all.
Hardly at all.
All right.
So that's fun. So yeah, I have my Uranus in conjunction with Lilith. I believe those are both Sag. I have my Saturn in conjunction with Pluto. I have my Mars in conjunction with Saturn. So yeah, you really have to look at your aspects and go one by one and see how it affects your life, because it's really fun. I looked at my wife's and told her, you know, why she has such an issue with me half the time. It's because, you know, her north node is like Virgo, which is very logical.
Oh, that actually explains so much.
Right. And
I would love to see Dee's chart.
Yeah. I would. I don't know why my kid's yelling, but yeah, it's very interesting to look at her aspects and see where she's struggling and where she's, you know, strong. You know, she's obviously strong in a lot of the compassion and warmth and giving.
Yes.
Parts of life. But when it comes to like logic or I mean, she is very logical, but when it comes to like putting emotions aside and only having, you know, your analytics to go on, then that's not something she's good at. And so, yeah, we're all striving to be something we aren't already. And that's the only way we grow. And looking at all these aspects definitely shows us where we need to try harder. And most of the time I look at my, you know, squares, where I have squares and where I have trines. And I work on those a lot. And I know the oppositions, of course, you should work on, but I think the square ones are actually harder to work on for me.
Interesting.
And so I haven't talked about what that is. So let's get into that. I talked about conjunction. I talked about sextile, trines. So trines are formed by 120 degree angle on the chart. They're generally considered the best aspect of them all. They bring luck, harmony, major synchronicity. They sync everything together and potential for positive changes. Synchronicity. I don't know why I couldn't say that a second ago.
That's okay. I've had trouble with some really easy words lately.
Yeah, too. Things just tie me up sometimes. Like anonymity forever. Anemone of the sea or whatever. Anyway, so a trine occurs when planets are in the same element, whether it's fire, earth, air, or water, with each other. And then a square is an intense aspect, often dictates action. Contrary to their reputation, squares are not necessarily bad. They just show that we have a lot of work to get where we need to go to overcome it. And it's considered one of the decidedly hard aspects at 90 degrees. It's bound to produce tension between the involved planets or energies. But a little tension can be helpful. So keep that in mind. And this aspect simply illuminates a stressful situation that can be resolved with compromise and effort. So if you compromise a little of, like for me, if I compromise some of my Aquarius, I just want to do what I want, and my Sagittarius and just free floating Libra with down to earth Capricorn or Scorpio or Cancer, it really does help me become a better, well-rounded person. I have to like bring myself back, not expect a dopamine or some type of release of happiness, just spend time with people I love and really open up to them and be there for them. That's what I'm trying to do more of. But yes. Yeah, So my, it definitely helps.
So my trine, just to go over just what's in my sun sign. My sun's trine is in opposition to my moon, and my sun's trine is also in opposition to my midheaven, which is in Taurus. So those are aspects, again, like I was talking about, those are especially the Gemini moon versus the Capricorn sun. Those are something that are constantly, it's a constant battle to bring them both into sync with one another. When they are in sync with one another, it's great, because that's when I'm at my most productive, and my most creative, is when I can get those two to sync up. It's been harder in more recent years, obviously due to the pandemic and all that stress, to, you know, try to equalize emotionally and logically all that stuff. But I thought that was interesting, because also, like I said, my sun and my midheaven are trine as well. And my midheaven is in Taurus, which is all about like the finer things of life, which I think is really funny.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
My moon is in trine to my Saturn and my Lilith, which is also kind of a bitch.
What signs do you have there?
I have Capricorn for Lilith, and I have my Saturn is actually in Aquarius.
Huh.
Which is all interesting, because Aquarius actually used to be ruled alongside Capricorn by Saturn, and then they realized that there were more planets, so then they kind of spread the signs out more. But back before they knew there were as many planets as there are, the ancients always subscribed Aquarius and Capricorn to the Saturn.
Interesting, because I think Uranus is a hell of a lot better descriptor of an Aquarius.
I would agree with that. I like that. Aquarius,
you know,
is in
Uranus. Very forward thinking. We just want to advance civilization. We want people to get their heads out of their asses.
And you got a little bit of mysticism in there, like a little bit of mysticalness in there too, you know?
Yeah, that's why we're talking about astrology right now.
Yeah.
And not boring people with quantum mechanics again.
I don't think
everyone I know told me no. Like, pretty much in a nutshell, like, no.
I don't think anybody even said anything about that episode. I think everyone was just confused. That's okay.
Yeah, I know. My people were like, nope, I don't like that shit.
Please, please don't make your podcast become about quantum mechanics. Sorry.
Yeah,
we took it in the opposite direction.
So far with our small numbers, we have concluded that the mysticism is more what people want.
People don't like the hard sciences, huh?
They don't want to know math tricks.
Oh.
Actually
has a lot to do with math.
It does, but we're just giving you we're giving you the cheat sheet.
All right.
Astro.cafeastrology.com for your cheat sheet, so you don't have to do the math.
Yeah. Unless you want to, then you can. Like, again, that could be a fun thing for some people to do.
Yeah. I knew a person that did that.
That's awesome. So are we on to square now?
Opposition.
Okay.
Yeah. So an opposition occurs when two planets are opposing signs, meaning they're found on opposite sides of the axis. This aspect can make it difficult for them to come together in harmony. Their wants, needs, and ideas may feel just as polar as their placement. That said, it's not all bad, and opposites do attract. And by seeking a balance between planets' energies and trying to work symbiotically, there's potential for us to make an opposition run smoothly. So my moon, which is Aquarius, is in opposition with my north node, which is Cancer, and that is entirely true. I will always struggle to get to that compassionate, mother-like person, mm-hmm. you know, make people feel comforted. Think of like hot cocoa and warm blankets. I'm not that person. I'm more like a steel sphere or steel cube in the Arctic. I'm like a steel cube in the Arctic. I may look aesthetically pleasing, but I'm as cold as
the weirdest metaphor you've ever done. All right.
my love is opposition with North Node. So my Venus is in Capricorn, very serious about my love life. But yeah, it's in opposition with Cancer. So I'm not very compassionate there either, I guess. I got issues.
All right. So
what are you opposition with?
I'm in opposition. My only opposition is my Pluto is in opposition to my midheaven. My Pluto is in Scorpio. My midheaven is in Taurus. Scorpios and Tauruses, they are opposite signs. They do not get along. So my
Pluto, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
Like, how does that affect you?
Well, let's see what Pluto rules.
It's like rebirth and like what sign Pluto rules.
In the province of death and rebirth. When chaotic events shake us at the foundations, it could be Pluto provoking a change at a fundamental level. So again, Taurus is all about, like, especially in my midheaven, because Taurus midheaven is all about building a public image for yourself, striving in your career to be, you know, again, it's all about a sense of security and stability, being able to understand the being able to achieve and get the finer things in life. It's very much, because Taurus is an earth sign and all earth signs are very much about like comfort and the home and not as much about like the social life, but like how the inner workings of the home are. So they very much like comfort. And so my Scorpio, which is the most fiery of the water signs, is in opposition to that, because it's all about Pluto is what shakes up certain aspects of your life or certain aspects of your personality and forces you to like reevaluate everything. So that's not really like a fun aspect to have in opposition to, because midheaven in your chart is supposed to rule what you pursue as a career, essentially. Like it's kind of your life's purpose, but it's more career oriented. So having, really? Yeah,
my midheaven's in Cancer. How am I supposed to fucking get a career in compassion? I mean, I was in the vet.
Yeah, it's all about for a while. Yeah, it's more about that type of stuff. Which also, like, Cancers do make good salespeople, because they can, you know, reach into that empathy and kind of pull it around.
Yeah, I don't know if I was necessarily meant for that either. But
yeah, having Pluto in opposition to my midheaven is not really good when it comes to my work life.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. I don't actually have, that's the only opposition that I have. I have a lot more in conjunction. I have a couple that are trines in my chart. I'd say my conjunction and my trines are about even. And I only have one opposition, three squares, and one sextile in my chart. So, I mean, overall, not terrible. I don't have a lot that's in opposition to one another.
Huh. Yeah, my Neptune is Sagittarius, and my Neptune is in opposition with my midheaven, which is Cancer.
That makes total sense.
The way I interpret that is that I'm idealistic and compassionate in a very, I do what I want sense, yes, and not in a like comforting sense.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that sucks. Don't come to me for any comfort, but I'll work on it.
So this is what, and again, if you have questions about any of these things, quick Google searches will find you things. So I just typed in Pluto opposite to midheaven. What a Pluto opposite to midheaven means, being born with a Pluto in opposition to your midheaven means that I have a strong desire to explore my inner world of emotions and unconscious forces. You may feel the emotions of your environment intensely, and you possess a strong creative potency. You are able to channel subconscious feelings through your external expression in your work. You are drawn toward reforming the roots of your family, ancestors, and homelands in some way. Working with old lineages will bring healing into the present. It is important for you to build a strong foundation and home base in which you can ground, recenter, and launch your work into the world. That's why I want to be a writer, because I can sit at home and not have to deal with people until I'm ready to just release it to the world. You're ambitious in terms of developing your work. You're ambitious in terms of developing work that is personally meaningful to you. Writing, again, something that I'm in charge of. I can craft the story. I can craft the message. This is more meaningful than working toward external goals of money and fame. That's where my Capricorn kind of starts to come in, because like as a writer, you know, I would love to be self-sustained and, you know, have money so that I don't have to go out into the world and I can stay in my home base and I can write my stories. Fame, less so. Like everybody wants to be remembered. But it's more the monetary comforting aspect that that I worry about as a Capricorn. I may be drawn to engage in healing modalities to help people gain awareness for unconscious messages and to recover from past trauma. Pluto in opposition to a midheaven transit. So when transiting Pluto forms an opposition with your midheaven, you will be initiated into an intense regenerative period. This transit will involve your family, home, or homeland, or inner emotional dynamics and unconscious. You will still be able to work toward your aspirations within your career during this time, but your vocational trajectory will be strongly shaped by inner psychological changes and realizations that you experience. So essentially what this is saying is that when I have shakeups and stuff like that in Pluto, this is kind of what's going to like shake up my Pluto versus my midheaven, which we're not going to go into for everybody so that they can exploit it. But yeah, so I guess, you know, again, if you have questions about any of it, you just type it in and there's stuff that will tell you. And I would say that that's pretty actually accurate in terms of my Pluto opposition to my midheaven.
Yeah, so, pretty much everything in mine is accurate. That's why I can't discount it.
Which is very irritating because, again, it's considered a pseudoscience and you can't. I mean, you obviously need to use math and the rotation of where the planets are and stuff like that. But we don't understand how it affects us on a subconscious level whatsoever. And that's one of the more irritating things about it. But I guess to kind of conclude with the whole astrology thing, unless there's anything else that we were going to go over.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I think we did not cover the aspects in a very concise manner, but I think this discussion was fun and hopefully people learn from it.
Yeah. And the aspects are kind of hard to go over without going over your chart and going over literally everything, which would take hours. But we wanted to kind of revisit this one after the last one, just to give people an idea of how to look at it and how to try to relate it. So in conclusion, when it comes to astrology, is there's a lot more than just, you know, I'm a Capricorn, you're an Aquarius. There's a lot more than just your sun sign. It's all about all the different signs that, you know, are in all these different planets. It's about what house your sign is in at the time of your birth. It's about what's a trine, what's a sextile, what's a conjunction, what's going to be struggles for you in your life, and what's going to be things that come easily to you in your life, and how can you better relate to yourself in the world, and how can you better relate with people. And that's what it's all about. And like the consciousness, we don't know where the consciousness comes from. We don't know how consciousness exists. We don't know where thoughts come from. We don't know how humans can be so knowledgeable at times. And so like with astrology and how it affects us, like we don't know, but you start to see things line up, and there's too many coincidences when it comes to astrology to just completely write it off as a pseudoscience and that it has nothing to do with your life. So yeah, you got anything you want to say?
No. I think you touched on everything I wanted to say. So
all right. So
Don't justify your shitty actions with astrology or MBTI.
But it can also help you understand people and their shitty
actions. Yeah. That's usually why I look up or like I try to ask people, do you know what your MBTI is? Because you're a real dick right now.
Yeah. And that is something I'd like to see in the future. And maybe somebody will maybe one day see this and do the work themselves, because I just don't have the wherewithal to do it. But I would like to see a correlation between what
astrological signs and MBTI.
Yeah, because as I've said, a lot of INTPs, it's actually said, are going to wind up being, or Capricorns are more likely to be INTPs than any other MBTI. But if you look up other signs, then like they don't really know. And I'd like to see that work done to see if there is some type of correlation, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all about being better and self-growth and all that. So we hope you guys enjoyed. Look up your chart. Look up your partner's chart. Look up people in your family's chart. I looked up my mom's chart. I looked up a couple of my siblings' chart, a couple of my friends' charts. And it's interesting because you can kind of see where – you guys are in opposition to each other. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to fix it all overnight, but it can help you come to a better understanding. And through understanding one another, we could be better to one another.
Well, I just looked it up. Aquarius apparently is connected with Scorpio, which is interesting.
Interesting.
I don't know.
All right. So on the next one, it's going to be a Rick and Morty episode.
Hell yeah.
We're going to talk about our favorite Rick and Morty episodes, why they're our favorites. Just because, you know, sometimes you need to take a break from mysticism and being in your own head.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. It's good to take breaks.
Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys on the next one. Love you all, and have fun.